In 5 years, I've seen it go from 70 to 50 to 40, because at the very beginning, when we started the church, there was some excitement. I mean, we were filling up garages, weren't we? And there was an excitement when you see this truth, and you realize, wow, I've never seen that before with the doctrine that we preach for today in the dispensation of the grace of God. But like anything else, we are so accustomed in this world to being entertained or having programs that is something that we did not offer. And because we wanted to make the main thing the main thing. I have found, 46 years old, I found something 18. I've either been teaching, an associate pastor, youth pastor, whatever. I always made programs or things more important. In all sincerity, though, hoping that some would grasp the truth of the Word of God. Well, it just comes down, the bottom line is, we come to church to make the main thing, the Word of God is the most important. If we don't show that as the highlight of why we're here, then we miss it. We're to grow spiritually, not physically. And so those are things we need to remember. But I say that not to depress anybody, but you got to remember when Paul was said in the Word of God that he was given the dispensation of the grace of God, okay, that it was a mystery before the world began, that he was not come from any man, but from Jesus Christ himself, the risen Christ. You got to remember who Paul had left with him before he died. He said they had all gone away. There was very few that were left with Paul. Now, if Paul knew much more than I would know or anybody else would know, what in the world would make us think that we would grow mega churches? Because people don't want to know the truth. They want to know what they're going to do next. And that's what happens. It's a sad picture. You've got to remember, you don't belong here. When you're saved, your blessings, the Word of God says, are in heavenly places. If you're expecting some prosperity gospel that when you walk out of here, if you do what's right and you're really nice to people and you give and you do all these things, if you've got an idea that you're going to receive blessings for that, you're sadly mistaken. And a lot of people do receive things out of it, and they give God the glory. Or they say that, but the glory really falls upon them. And so you just got to be careful of those kind of things. Tell you what, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. Now, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about things that a lot of people have a misconception of the gospel of the grace of God. And the first thing we've got to understand is the fact that there are more than one gospel in the Word of God. If you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read this morning, John the Baptist is telling that the kingdom is at hand. All the way through Christ's ministry as he walked, if we see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in Christ's earthly ministry, when he was walking the earth, he was saying, prepare the way, for the kingdom is at hand. And he made these covenant promises that were to come true, and he was fulfilling Scripture to come true, and he was going to be a king. He was going to sit on he was going to have a kingdom, and there was going to be a kingdom of priests. Israel was going to be the salt of the world. They were going to go out and reach men, us, Gentiles, bring them to the king. By the way, that ended in here. Okay? That as far as that kind of stuff, that gospel ended here. But we'll pick back up when we're out of the way. And guess what? Those promises that were made as Christ walked this earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is going to sit on the throne. That's why John the Revelator was talking about what he saw, streets of gold, gates of pearl. He looked and he saw heaven coming out of earth. Everybody, have you ever heard the preachers preach that when they die, that they're going to run the streets of gold and see the gates of pearl, and they're going to walk up and down, and they're singing songs written about it, how when they get to heaven, they're going to do all that stuff. Well, the thing they fail to read is what John the Revelator is seeing is a revelation, something that's going to come to be. And that New Jerusalem, guess where it's going to be? It's going to be in heaven. It's going to be on earth. And he sees the picture and he sees it coming out of heaven to earth. Well, that's what's going to take place. But it never took place here because we know that they did not receive their king, that they did not believe he was the Messiah, and instead they crucified him. So it's very clear as you read the scriptures, we all know that. Most people know that. They don't deny the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified. What they deny is the fact of that what Christ did for them, and you can do nothing on your own. People think today that, well, if I do good things, he's going to bless me. What else does Christ have to do besides die on the cross? It's like it wasn't enough. You've got to do something for it now. What is it comes to us that we can't just trust for the fact that what Christ did at the cross completed the fact that that's what we put our hope in for our salvation? We trust that's what saves us. But today we're in a world that as long as they can put something on you, they have a power. So, in saying that, we know that Paul was given something that had never been given before. And it's for your salvation today. But the world today will tell you, well, Paul was preaching the same thing that they were preaching. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, the Word of God says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now that's pretty much about where we finished off last week or what we talked about. So, if the Word of God is true, absolutely true, and Paul makes this statement that it was God-breathed through Paul, we know for a fact that the things that he wrote unto you, Paul, are the commandments of the Lord. So therefore, although there were commandments written here, and commandments written here, okay, which commandments do you follow? You can't follow them all because they go against each other in some areas. Right?
You always follow the last one first.
Follow the last commandment first. Paul was given a dispensation, a revelation, something that had never been given before. And so the issue for our direction, for our doctrine today, is the fact that we follow those things that were written by Paul. In verse 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. In other words, I didn't tell you what to do. The Word of God tells you what to do. If you decide that you're going to be ignorant about it and you think you can juggle all the acts from one to the other, that's called ignorant. That's just not knowing. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. The whole point is, all the writings of the Bible are equally true. We know that. There isn't one part that is inspired more than any other. So, a lot of people make the misconception, when I bring about Paul as our apostle, that I'm saying none of this is important. All Scripture is inspired. There's none more important than anybody else's. It's the point in the dispensation, what's being dispensed today for your salvation and for your doctrine are those things that Paul wrote. It's not that these are wrong. These were right in times past. By the way, they'll be right again. They'll come to be again. That's why when you read Paul's letters, he says, in times past, but now, things to come. You'll see that written over and over and over again. When Paul's going through his letters, he'll talk about things in times past. Then he'll say, but now. And then he'll bring up things to come. In Ephesians chapter 3, I believe he takes all three of those at one time. Now, in saying that, all the writings of the Bible are equally true. There isn't one part that is inspired more than another, which brings us to many that have the misconception about grace believers that rightly divide the Word is that we don't believe in reading the whole Bible. Well, why in the world would we not believe in reading the whole Bible? It's all profitable. Every word of the Bible is equally inspired. Every word of the Bible is equally true. God's word, written through and by the Apostle Paul, are no more truth than anyone else that God spoke through. The issue is what your marching orders are, what your direction is. The issue is what we read in verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, if I say that any are as important as the other, that also means that none is less important than the other. So therefore, those things that Paul wrote are just as important. And who wrote, who received the last revelation or the last message? The Apostle Paul. Now, we know that every word is truth, every word is inspired, every word is right, every word is pure, every word is preserved, but not every word is written directly to us as members of the body of Christ. Just because it's all inspired doesn't mean it's written directly to you. Okay? I mean, you weren't on the scene here, were you? No. So those things weren't. That's why we don't sacrifice animals today. That's why we eat anything we want today. That's why we're not subjected to doing things towards following the Sabbath today. That's why it's not the issue for us to follow a holy day or a feast. Now don't get me wrong, I like to eat as much as anybody else. But those things have nothing to do with our salvation. And the example of take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, and wear, obviously that has to do with specific people. If you got up this morning and took no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear, chances are somebody's going to get in trouble. And let me tell you what, when you get in trouble, if you're thinking that God's just going to miraculously open the jail for you, it ain't going to happen. You're going to sit there. But there's a time where that can happen, right? When it speaks to not us, but to others. Obviously, that has to do with a specific people for a specific time and a specific purpose. It was a prophetic program given to the nation of Israel. The Apostle Paul, of course, was given the revelation of the mystery. He is called our apostle and says here, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So if that's the case, would it not be important that we follow Paul's writings? Right? Thinking we don't read the whole Bible is not the issue. But we do put more emphasis on Paul's writings because it's our doctrine. It's where we receive our direction and the commandments that are of the Lord. Right? Those are instructions given to us, even though we're supposed to study all Scripture. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy 3, and then we're going to back up and go to chapter 2, and then back to 3. I'm going to show you a couple of things that we need to take notice of. I'm going to give the example of Timothy and who he learned from. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, if all Scripture wasn't profitable, and we just read Paul's letters, a lot of that would not make sense to us because we wouldn't know how he got where he got it from or why it's important that we follow those things that Paul wrote. We wouldn't have an understanding of why he had to defend so much because it was so different here. I mean, all the Scripture is important for us to see. It makes us furnished. It keeps us from being ashamed when somebody needs a question asked. It puts us in a position as a body of believers to teach the truth. So how simple can it be? It furnishes us to good works. The chapter before, look what Paul says to Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2:14. Not 15. Everybody goes to 15. 2:14. In 2 Timothy 2:14, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now go to chapter 3, verse 13. In 2 Timothy 3:13, Paul says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." What's important here? That Paul, did you see Paul here say, look, make sure you read all the scriptures and know them all real good and know they're all true. Paul says, look, in the latter days, there's going to be evil men, seducers, that are deceived and deceive others. Now, a lot of times right off the bat we see this word deceived and seducers and evil. What do we think? We think of horror shows or Freddy or those that are of the cult or those that are of the devil or those that are light candles and they're doing a seance. I mean, that's, as a kid, as a young person, I used to go back and I think he thought of evil or seducers. I thought of the evil people. But, you know, that you see in the movies, the bad guys. But that's what I thought of. But you know who Paul's talking about? How often are somebody going to say, you know what, I'm going to learn about the Lord, and they go to some witchcraft? Nobody does that. They go into a church, and there's been a man that has been programmed. He's gone through seminary, he's got degrees, he speaks with such a fluent tongue, and he entertains so well that you walk away saying, this guy must be right, he's so good. Right? That's who Paul's talking about. He's talking about those that stand behind the pulpit that you are ignorant of the scriptures. You don't realize that what Paul gives you are the commandments of the Lord today. And so he can take Noah and the ark and he can take that water and give you seven reasons why you better be washed. Or he can take the word sin and spell it out, S-I-N. He's got a word for S, a word for I, and a word for N. At the end, he's got you in the altar and you've changed your life because you've done something. You know what he is? He's a deceiver. And it's not because he's a bad person. It's how he's learned. And so, look at the scripture again. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You are not going to be deceived by somebody that is a drunken stoop or a harlot or somebody that entices you. Okay, and you say, well, they must be right. Paul's not saying the same way. You know who Paul's talking about? He's talking about people that don't teach the truth but hold the same word that you're holding today and that I'm holding today. Because those are the people that you think are okay. We've always had this visual that as long as we go to church, that guy behind that pulpit must be a good guy. May I remind you, there's as many of them that I've seen that have gone to jail for child molestation, for murder, have committed suicide. I mean, you just look in the paper. Those guys lose their power and they go crazy. They don't realize that the whole time they think they're happy, they're not. They're deceiving others and have a power. But when they lose it, they go crazy. Or when they feel like they're bigger than life, they take advantage of other people. And that's what you see today. And that's why people aren't in church, because they're saying, them people in church are crazy. And when they say that, I say, you're absolutely right. I mean, I tell people every day, the meanest people in the world, you know what happens? They go to church on Sunday. I'm telling you, some of the meanest people in the world go to church. They do. And they don't even know it. But they're deceivers. They're the very people. See, the drunk you're not going to listen to. Okay? It's the one that tells you the wrong way of your salvation that seems really right. It really makes a lot of sense. Because you don't know the word,
He moves you with feelings and emotions. Some people walk out every day thinking they're saved and they're as lost as a goose. The sad thing is they can claim their salvation by trusting in what Christ did at the cross plus nothing, which has got to be the easiest thing in the world. But instead, they sit under a man that makes them feel guilty and bad and awful. He drags them to an altar. They come up broken, and they think they're going to rededicate their life. And they're going to be really good. And he says, well, if you'll just get baptized now, and the whole time they walk away thinking, well, I'm saved because I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And shadows the cross every time. Because it's all about what you did, bringing glory to you instead of the cross. Now, I hope you understand the verse. It's not talking about the bad people outside that are fishing today or playing golf. I say that as a joke. By the way, next Sunday afternoon, I'll be on a golf course. So it has nothing to do with my salvation, whether I'm here or not. I'm taking a vacation. That's what I'm going to do. So I hope y'all are all here and have a good time. Because that's what I'm going to be doing. And I don't have to feel guilty about whether I'm saved or not because I was on the golf course. The issue is, I come to church, I come here because I learn here. I get to meet a body of believers that believe as I do, and it strengthens me. That's why you come. For yourself to be strengthened and to feel stronger, and for others. Now, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So let me just say this. Let's change it. But unlearned men who think they know what they're talking about will get worse and worse. And people that don't know any better, that are ignorant, will continue to believe them. That's my paraphrase. Okay? And they'll get worse and worse. They'll deceive. You think anybody goes behind a pulpit that knows it wrong, goes back there trying to deceive you? He doesn't. Let me tell you what, when I deceived people for, I guess, 20 years, you think I knew I was deceiving them? I didn't know. You think I'm proud of that? Absolutely not. I can only take what I know now and share the truth. But I deceived people for a long time. You know why? Because I myself was deceived. Does it make sense? So it's not that Paul's dogging. I used to read this and think, there's bad people out there. I can't believe people want to go listen to them. No. There's people that we see with our eyes as though they're good people and they must really be telling the truth. But instead, they're smooth talkers. They've been deceived and they're deceiving others. Therefore, Satan says, well, man, why would I worry about witchcraft and everything when I can deceive people using God's Word? What's easier to do? Get somebody to teach wrong? Then you don't know the truth. Now, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then Paul says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, here's the kicker, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Do you think Timothy, the only person he ever learned from was the Apostle Paul? Absolutely not. If you read, you'll see who else he learned from. Right? His grandma. Paul says, take all that other stuff aside, because the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Isn't that what we read? He says, you know and be assured of who, when you learn, where they came from. Pretty important. Notice, do you not think that puts, that kind of highlights Paul's letters, if we want to know exactly the truth of the doctrine for us today, I think it pretty much highlights those things, doesn't it? Just those two verses alone. Okay? Who did Timothy learn from? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to 2 Timothy 1. Back up a couple of chapters. And look at verse 13. This is another kicker. 2 Timothy 1:13. Notice what Paul says to Timothy. Hold fast. That means you better grip it and hold on because this thing's about to roll. Okay? Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of Peter, James, John, the Old Testament, John the Baptist. No.
which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now the Paul say, you need to worship me because I'm right and I've got all the answers. Because there is a misconception that people that teach the grace doctrine, there are people out in the world that think that we worship Paul. You know, and that ain't the case. The issue is Paul held an office that was given to him, and it was from the risen Christ. Peter, James, John, and all those learned from Christ before he had risen. Paul learned from the risen Christ. And he says here, that's heard of me in faith and love, which is in, who's he give the glory to? Himself? It's in Christ Jesus. So it's not that Paul says, listen to me because I'm the best teacher you've ever had. What's he say? Sound words. He always used the word of God was the issue. So there's a deeper meaning after reading this. Now what I want you to do is go to 2 Timothy. We're staying in Timothy here because this is neat. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. When I studied this week, I've never just read all of this together. This week I read 2 Timothy probably 8 times. Just read it. So hoping I know it. I'm not that good at it. But I know more than I knew before I read it 8 times. But in saying that, it brought all these verses together to where verse 16 makes more sense to me than it's ever made. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:14, now we know who Paul's talking to, Timothy. We know that Paul is saying the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord in 1 Corinthians. We read that. We also know that Paul says how you've known them and who wrote them to you. We know that it's important that he makes sure Timothy knows that the things that he wrote unto him are the things that are right. Not that the other things were wrong, but they were wrong for that day. Now look at this, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy knew as a child. Paul knew as a child. Who was Paul, a Jew?
Jew in the Old Testament.
Who was he under? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So it wasn't that what Paul said was right because he never really knew much about this stuff, and so what he must have was right. Paul knew the Scriptures. And he said, it's not your mail. What I write to you, you better know. And he says, look, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto good works. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that Paul said that none of the Scriptures were important. It's the issue that he himself is dissecting those things. They knew the Scriptures in times past, and they're profitable because it brought them to where they're at today. All Scripture. Interesting, the fact that this letter was written about the same time, this letter that we're reading was written about the same time as 2 Peter, which of course says to do what? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. Peter himself says, he tells those to read Paul's epistles. And these are written about the same time if you look at the dates. Tell you what, just go to 2 Peter chapter 3 while we got time. Not much time, but we got time. See, I got to turn there too. Alright, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Peter says, an account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of the things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. That word rest, same word as twist. And what do we do? What did Paul say? As time goes by, there will be evilness. There will be those who deceive and are deceived. There will be seducers. You know what they're doing it with? The Word of God. They're doing it with Scripture. Even Peter. You notice one thing that Peter didn't mention? He said to read Paul's epistles. Why all of a sudden were John's epistles, Luke's epistles, all the other epistles, why weren't they important? Why didn't Peter mention them? Who did Peter walk with and spend time with? It wasn't Paul. Isn't it interesting? This flock that was dying in their faith, that had forsaken all, that were waiting for the king to set up his kingdom, I think Peter came to a point where he realized Christ wasn't coming right now, and I can't help you by following the commandments. You better read Paul's letters, because something's changed. If you read Acts 15, Peter stands in Paul's defense. They're all arguing. Paul goes to Jerusalem to these that made no respecter of persons. And he makes it clear. And Peter stands in defense. You men know. And they gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of Christian fellowship. They said, Paul, you go to the Gentiles. Because that was his office.
But isn't it interesting? He don't mention to read anybody else's letters. But yet today, preachers will stand behind here that are deceived and being deceived, and they'll tell you you're saved by reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mm-hmm. Peter himself said, read Paul's epistles. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They're not unlearned in the Scriptures. They're not that they didn't go to school and they didn't know. They're unlearned in the things that Paul wrote to them. Because the things that Paul wrote are what? The commandments of the Lord. It's not that they were stupid. They were unlearned and unstable. What did he say? That those who are ignorant be what? Ignorant. Do you get how this comes together? All Scripture is important. All is profitable. All of it is, because we can be truly furnished. That means by knowing it all, we can say, well, I know why Paul says his letters are important, because we know that Christ was crucified. I know why Paul's letters are important, because this flock that will be saved in later times. You wouldn't know that stuff if you didn't read the Scripture. We were talking about this morning, John the Baptist, how he ate locusts and honey. And it brings back the memory all the way to Exodus. Those locusts and honey were important. Everything written in the Word of God is important if it's rightly divided. It's all got to be rightly divided. You even have to rightly divide Paul's epistles. Okay? But anyway, unlearned and unstable rest, as they do. Also the other Scriptures. What else does that say? Anything that Paul wrote was what? Scripture. You know, most Scripture as it was written wasn't Scripture at first. But anytime Paul wrote it, it was Scripture right then. He says, as they do also the other Scriptures under their own destruction. If you're under somebody that rests, they may have a really good Awana program. They may have a good basketball team. Might have a good solid. They may have 65 youth or 75 seniors that take trips to Biloxi, Mississippi. They may have some of the best, funniest guys to listen to. Guys that will make you laugh and cry, and you'll walk out feeling high like you're on drugs, like, man, I'm changing my life now. You know what they're doing? They're twisting the Scriptures to make you feel good, and it will send you straight to hell. Because you never know the truth. That's why we're not popular.
I'd rather be not popular and know the truth of my salvation than to feel good all my life. Because you're only going to live so long here. And your flesh is going to burn up and die. But when Christ says eternal, He says not just forever. But what's He say? Forever, and as if there's an end to forever. He says forever and ever. It's like one thing we're going to figure out how long forever is. Then He goes ahead and puts another ever with it. Isn't that interesting? I mean, God is amazing. He's the Almighty God that gave Paul what he had. Don't miss next week. Of course, I won't be here, but don't miss 2 weeks from now because we'll bring all this together. There's some stuff through this study that I've learned that it's just good stuff. It makes me very confident in whether I have 1 or 10 or 20 when I leave this world as far as my friends or whatever. I don't really care. The issue is that the word goes out.